And I just want to read down through here a few minutes and bring you a thought that I believe the Lord has given me and something that we need to do here, especially in this service this morning. And David had committed the awful, awful sin of adultery. You all know the story of how he took Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite, from Uriah the Hittite, and wound up having her husband killed and marrying her. Things went along pretty good to David, poor David, until the prophet came with a message from God. And Nathan the prophet pointed his finger in David's face and said, "Thou art the man. You are the guilty man." Now, before Nathan done that, I don't believe David felt real bad about what he had done. That's why God has preachers. People can go on and do about whatever they want to and talk themselves into thinking it's all right until God sends a preacher and says, "That's wrong." And brother, it wakes them up. And that's exactly what happened to David, and that's what he's expressing here in Psalm 38. Look at it real carefully as I read. Verse 1. "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath." He knew God could take care of him if he wanted to. I mean, there's a man getting ready to get right with God. You see these people out here saying, "Well, I'm all right. God ain't going to do nothing to me." They're in bad shape. Here's a man that looks up and says, "God, you're wrath. God, you could kill me in a second." When you get like that, you getting ready to get right with God. When you realize that God could snuff you out just like that with no problem, brother, and not have to lift a finger to do it. One time there's a big famous atheist went outside and he was a daring God to strike him with lightning. And he'd stick his fist up and say, "If there's a God, I dare you. I dare you. Strike me with lightning. You can't hurt me." And you say, "Did God do it?" No. He let him go. About an hour or two later, he was out gathering up some sticks to build a fire with, and a little spider crawled out from under a piece of wood and bit him on the finger and killed him. God don't even have to worry about sending out a lightning bolt if he wants to knock you off, brother. Or me, either one. He don't have to exert himself. He's God. And brother, he can knock a man down anytime he wants to. Our generation's in for a big, big, big shock when God lets his arrows start flying. Look here what he said. "Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of that anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones." Why? "Because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head, and as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease." There's what makes a lot of people think David got BD. I don't know if he did or not, but a lot of preachers and commentators actually believe that because of his sin of adultery, God let him get a venereal disease, which he may have. He said, "My loins," verse 7, "are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me." Watch it here now. "When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me." Verse 18, here's what I want to preach on. "For I will declare my iniquity," and here's the subject. I will be sorry for my sin. But my enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. I believe that when David made the statement in verse 18, I will be sorry for my sin, he had some definite Holy Ghost conviction and godly sorrow for his sin. I want to preach to you just quickly this morning. I changed the whole plans this morning. I thought on preaching something else. I believe that one of the greatest needs of church people in our generation is to be able to be sorry for their sins. The problem with a lot of people nowadays is that they sin but are not sorry for it. Even sometimes they repent. It's more of a worldly sorrow, just being afraid of what might happen to them, or afraid somebody will find out what they've done, or afraid of something, they'll lose their job, or maybe getting a disease or something. There is very little godly sorrow for sin. There's not many people who are sorry they've sinned because it's against God. David said, I will be sorry for my sin. Now, I don't know about you this morning. There's a lot of people just coming along. They think, oh, Lord, about got caught. I better go up there and repent. And they'll come up there and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for everything that happens to me. But a lot of times they're not really sorry. They may be sorry in a world. The sorrow of the world worketh death. And if a man just says, well, I'm sorry, but not really have godly sorrow, it ain't going to give him no life, but rather death. Now, you hearing me this morning, I'm going to describe to you how me and you should feel when we sin. It's here in Psalm 38. I don't know what our generation is coming to except absolute chaos and the reign of the Antichrist. Our generation has seemingly lost all sense of morals, has seemingly lost all sense of telling the truth, has seemingly lost all sense of being upright and honest and facing their sin. We've got a generation on our hand that has brought a complete new morality in the picture altogether. I tell you, brother, what we need to do, and what's wrong with America this morning, is that we need to hit our knees and beg God Almighty to forgive our sin and heal our land. I believe it grieves the heart of God for people walking in churches all over McDowell County this morning living like the devil. They don't plan on changing next week or the week after. They ain't a bit sorry for their sin. They have drunk liquor all week or been around all week or told lies all week, and it don't even bother them. And the Holy Ghost of God just flutters up to glory and leaves them alone. I'm telling you this morning, friends, we better get sorry for our sin. We better try and confess our sin before a Holy God that knows what we've done. And He ain't going to bend down and get on our level. We're going to have to pray and repent and let Jesus move us up to His level. Amen. I don't believe this philosophy of me and Jesus got our own thing going. No, you ain't. You ain't got no special deals worked out with God where He pats you on the back and says, well, I'll let you get by with it. Don't mean you had a little talk last night and before you passed out drunk, but you told me you were sorry. And you and Jesus ain't got your own deal going, brother. You either come away, this book says, or you ain't having no fellowship with Jesus Christ. You got your own deal worked out with the Lord. You got to be sorry for your sin. Now, there's several things I want to mention. I want to tell you something this morning. There's some of you folks going to be in a mess until you really get sorry for what you've done. You say, Brother Danny, oh, so-and-so out there, they're backslid. How come they won't come in and repent? They ain't sorry for it. You say, well, I can't figure nothing. All these people that quit church, all these people, they ain't but one problem. They ain't sorry for what they've done yet. When Peter denied the Lord and cussed, you say, I just don't see how a person that's saved could cuss. Peter did. Let me tell you something, brother. A man sinning ain't the sign he's lost.
But a saved man getting miserable and crying when he does sin is a good sign he's saved.
People say, "Brother Danny, I know so-and-so, and you ought to heard what they've done. Do you believe they're saved?" I say, "I don't know if they are or not. It might be. Saved people do a lot of stupid things. But there's one thing about it. If a man's saved, he's going to be sorry for it. He'll be sorry like David, the man of God, who said, 'I'm sorry for my sin.'" Now, right quickly, I want you to look. The first thing that'll happen to a man when he's sorry for his sin is in verse 2, he is going to have conviction. He's under conviction. Verse 2, he said, "Thine arrows stick fast in me." Now, what do you think David meant when he said that? Now, personally, I don't really believe God had a literal, real bow and arrow and was shooting them from heaven and it's coming through David's roof or right through his window or something and sticking in his body. You? I don't believe that. What did he mean when he said, "Thine arrows stick fast in me"? Well, you know what he meant. Those arrows of conviction who could come right through his wall, directed by the Holy Ghost, bam! Have you ever, start to say, have you ever sinned? I don't know. You know what happens when you really sin? I mean when you really sin. And the Lord says, "Don't you do it." And you're going over here. Say right over at that tree is the sin. And the Lord says, "You ought not to do this." You remember what Brother Danny said? You remember what the Bible said? You remember that? And you go ahead and do it. You ever done anything like that? I mean knowingly, with your eyes open. I ain't talking about just going along and go, "Oh, I messed up. Lord, please forgive me." I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about seeing it, knowing it, knowing it's wrong before you do it, premeditating it, planning it out in your mind, and just... You know what will happen to you right after you do that? The devil will say, "It's all right. Everybody else does it. It ain't wrong." As soon as you do it, something, there'll be an arrow come from the third heaven. And it'll go, and it'll find its way down the street where you live and turn right on your street corner and come through your window and go, "Ah!" And you go, "Ew." Conviction! You know what happened to Paul, old Saul of Tarsus, who hated Christians, who was going to have him put in jail. I mean, that old boy, mean as a devil, boy. He was religious but lost. He couldn't see his condition. He was blind. But on the road to Damascus, boy, he saw a light above the brightness of the sun, and about 50 arrows went bang and just sticking him all over. And you know what he started doing? He started kicking. He'd been doing that for 2 or 3 weeks. God said, "Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks." You say, "What's a prick in the Bible?" It's a Holy Ghost conviction. You know what? When Stephen preached and the apostles preached that in the book of Acts, he said when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Got them under conviction. When a man gets sorry for his sin, he's got to be under conviction. Then the second thing, there is disorder. Look at verse number 3. "There is no soundness in my flesh." There is disorder, brother. Life, it becomes confusing. You ever heard a backslider when they get right with God? Boy, when they get back right with God, they'll say, "Oh, it just feels so good to have everything at peace again." When you're out there sinning, you know what happens? When you're out there and sin, it's just like you're out on a ship and the waves are beating you back. There's disorder. Nothing runs, goes right. Nothing runs on, you know, when you're right with God and you're living for the Lord, here's how come I think backsliders are miserable. Because when you're right with the Lord and everything's right and you have peace, even though you may have trouble, you see the Lord working all the time. And you know that He's directing. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And there's a certain feeling of satisfaction that goes along with that. There's a certain feeling of peace and blessedness that no matter what happens, you know, He's in control. And well, when you get out of the will of God and you sin, all of that leaves. And you start going like this, and your walk of life is more like this, you know, and you're going this way, and it's disorder. It's not organized. It's wrong. Now, there's a man getting sorry for his sin when he realized that life in his shape is disorganized. There's no organization to it. That wild living that a lot of people are out there living this morning, brother, it's disorder. Do you realize this morning, me and you forget about this a lot of times, do you realize that last night in McDowell County, last night, there were people went home driving their car like this and they were crying. And they were crying and maybe one of them was a cussing.
and then another one running along like this, and he's sliding around the curve. You know why? Because he had a date with some old woman, or some, then they went to a party and some other fella showed up who used to date her. Him and him, they wound up getting in a fight and she left with the other fella. It's just always a mess like that when you're out there and seeing. It's always something nothing ever goes right. Nothing ever seemed to go like you want it planned. You say, well, Brother Danny, you have a lot of problems in the Christian life. Yeah, I know it, but brother, you can see an order to it. You can see God's hand working in it. When you're out there without God, it's just chaos, man. You don't know what's going to happen from one day to the other. When you're saved, you know the hand of God's in everything that comes your way. And so, brother, there is disorder. Not only that, there's unrest. In verse 3, he said, neither is there any rest in my bone. He said, I can't rest. You know why I couldn't rest? You know how come people always got to be moving around somewhere and they can't settle down and behave? Because there's no rest in their bones because of their sin. We're living in an ignorant, stupid, but educated age. And they're getting our kids in these schools and colleges, and they're telling them that there is no such thing as sin. And that what's wrong with our generation is that people were taught that when they were little by pagan, superstitious religions, and that you just think you've done bad, and religion is actually the cause of the problems in this world. By having people have unnecessary inhibitions about being sinners. Right, that's what they're telling you. But the fact remains, friend, if a man's sinning, he ain't got no rest. Then there's oppression. Look at verse 4. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. You ever heard anybody say, whew, boy, when I got right with the Lord, that took a load off of me. When a man's living from sin, he's like walking around that piano on his back. You say, why don't you come to church and get right with God? I'm having too much fun. He likes the way that liquor makes him feel. He likes the way that adultery makes him feel. He likes the way that dope makes him feel. But boy, he's carrying a heavy, heavy load. When a man gets sorry for his sin, he says, I'm crazy for carrying this load on me. And he throws it off. Wow. That took a load off of me. Then there's corruption. Look at verse 5. My wounds stink. No physician on earth can heal that disease you got this morning, friend. And you stink. You stink in the nostrils of God. Then there's helplessness. Look at verse number 6. I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. I'm feeble, I'm broken. When a man's sorry for his sins, my dear friend, he gets helpless. He gets broken. He don't necessarily say, well, if I go to church, all right, if I don't, all right. I'm having a good time. I can just live like I want to, and nothing bad's going to happen to me. There's a man that ain't yet sorry for his sins. God has to ring his number, and if he don't answer, God will ring it a little louder. And if he don't answer, God will ring it a little louder. And brother, there's a man that's going to be sorry for his sin one day, but he'll be in bad shape. And old David, even though he committed adultery, he wasn't an ignorant man. David was a great man. He did commit this awful sin. But you know why I know David's a great man? Because he repented, brother. He got it right. He asked forgiveness. He got that thing right with God, and he got his fellowship restored. And David, I believe, went to the grave in fellowship with God. I believe David was a lot closer to God than Solomon ever was. I believe David was God's man, a man after God's own heart. And you know that David was a great man, even though he had this black spot on his life, even though he had this hideous scar that sin had left on him, he repented and got it right. Say, Brother Danny, I bet there's a lot of people in the kingdom never did forget that. I guarantee you they did. I bet you there wasn't hardly none of them around there to let him look at their wife. Why? The thing about it is, he got it right with God. He got it right with God. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've messed up 5 million times, you say, well, Brother Danny, there ain't no use in me praying. There ain't no use in me trying. Everybody knows how much I've sinned. Listen. Don't worry about everybody else. You get that thing right with God Almighty. Brother, I made up my mind by the grace of God. I want to go through, keep my fellowship with God no matter what anybody says about it. I may be the next one the devil throws for a loop, but by the grace of God, by God's grace, I want to keep my fellowship with the Lord. I ain't never seen nothing in this world worth losing the fellowship of God over. This world ain't got nothing to offer you no better than what God's got. And then there's darkness. Look at verse 7. On down there in where he said the darkness, I've lost it. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease. I'm feeble and sore. 10. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is gone from me. Right, verse 10. He said, I'm in darkness. When a man's living for God, he's walking in light. He knows the truth. He knows right from wrong. He knows this. As soon as you get out of the will of God and start sinning, darkness settles in on you. I know a guy. As far as I know, this fellow still backslid. He got right with the Lord, the same revival, or that little bit after that I got saved in. And that boy loved the Lord. And he was smart. I was real intelligent, smart, and done, I mean, like straight A's in school. And he read the Bible. Boy, he picked up on everything just like that. He picked it up. He got the Bible straight. You know, he had an amazing understanding of the Scriptures and the situation of the world in relation to the Scriptures. And he backslid and quit church. And I went and talked to him. And I said, man, you need to get back in there. And you know what he said? He said, you know something, Danny? He said, there was a time in my life when I thought that I had the thing. And I had all the answers. And if somebody says, why is God letting Russia take over? You could answer them. Why is those kids starving to death in Ethiopia? You could answer them. He had the thing figured out. And he wasn't bragging. He said, I had it. I had a hold on things. But he said, now I ain't. You know what happened to that boy? He let sin come into his life and darkness set in on him. If you're in the light, any question anybody puts to you, you can find it in this book. But when a man starts sinning, his eyes get closed. Darkness settles in on him. He ain't got no light no more. The Bible said if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. And he wished he'd never sinned. All these things that I've mentioned is God doing this to make you wish you had never sinned. But then there's confession in verse 18. He said, I'm going to declare it. And then there's contrition in verse 18. He said, I'm going to be sorry. The reason people don't repent today is they're not sorry. Now, I want to say in closing this morning, why we need to be sorry. Why we need to be sorry for our sins? Three things. Number one, because of who we sinned against. You know who you sinned against? God. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. It's not that you're offending me. It's not that you're offending the church. When you sin, you are sinning against the Creator of the whole universe. Son, that's why you ought to be sorry. That's why I ought to be sorry. Sinning against God! It's not me, it's not the town, it's not a man. It's God that you sin against. God! God who's got your life in His hand. God who knows every move you make. God who watches you everywhere you go. It's Him you're sinning against. Second thing is because of what your sins have done and my sins have done. They've caused misery. Kill the Lord Jesus Christ. She was talking a while ago about somebody slapping the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time we sin, that's what we're doing. Every time you go out here and tell dirty jokes or laugh at sin or put your approval on sin, you're getting your big mouth full and spitting in the face of Jesus Christ. You're gnawing a crown of thorns on His head. You're sticking the spear in His side. Somebody told me not long ago, said, well, if that's the way somebody's going to do me, I'm just going to quit church. And I said, what did God do to you? And they said, nothing. And I said, well, why are you taking it out on Him? It's because of what somebody else done to you. You ain't got no right to quit church. Quit serving God. If everybody in here stood up and stuck their tongue out at you, God ain't done you no wrong, buddy. and he ain't done. I ain't got no right to quit serving God. You ain't got no right to quit serving. Listen, brother.
Every one of y'all can get mad at me if you want to. You say, we'll run you off. Well, I'll go to another church. Amen. That's right.
It ain't God's fault you act like that. It ain't God's fault I act like I act a lot of times. It ain't, you can't, brother, when you sin, you're sinning against God.
Man, I think it was a man told me one time something about he's a preacher or something. He quit preaching or something. I said, what'd you do that for? Well, they talked about me and they treated me wrong. Something along those lines. I can't remember exactly what. I said, well, what you going to quit God? Why are you quitting serving God? Because what somebody else done to you. Why don't you just quit messing with them? Keep serving God. He didn't hurt you. I can't stand somebody getting mad at God. If you want me to get mad at you, you get mad at God. If he ain't done nothing but good for you, he give you every bit of clothes on your back and the place where you live and the food you eat every day. If you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at the low-down devil. He's the one that's caused all our problems. He's the one that caused you misery. He's the one that'll take you to hell. Man, it's his fault. What if I killed your kid? Really now, what if I shot your kid and run over it in the driveway on purpose? You wouldn't have a soft spot in your heart for me. Yet that's what we've done to God's son. That's what our sins have done. And then the last thing is what your sins will do. For those that are not saved, you know what sin will do to you? It'll take you to hell. And the sad, bad, terrible thing about sin is that most people don't realize how bad it is till it's too late. When Achan reached in there and stole that goodly Babylonish garment and those pieces of silver and gold and hid them and all that, he didn't realize how bad it was till them big rocks were busting his head. He started saying, oh, that was bad. I shouldn't have done that. Too late now. The rocks is hitting you. When David took Bathsheba into his arms, he didn't realize how bad he was doing. Till he looked there and saw a coffin and his little baby laying in it. Then he realized, too late. Can't bring the baby back. What breaks my heart this morning? People don't realize how bad sin is. So it's too late. Old J. Harold Smith was preaching one time and some boys come down the road and mocked him. Mocked him. Made fun of him. I think he was on a motorcycle. They sped up the highway and over and they turned to flip something, hit a car, tractor, trailer, something head on. In just a few minutes, one of them, he scraped his face off on the highway. His whole face just scraped it off. And the other ones just went through a radiator and ground him up like hamburger. You know what? They were sorry for their sin, but it's too late. What gets me this morning, there's still about 35 of y'all sitting there this morning that are just kind of like you. It ain't hit you. You ain't got the message. You're going to stand there when I give an invitation. You're going to walk out that door. You ain't going to change. warn you today, friend, you better be sorry for your sin.
This book says, be sure.
Your sin will find you out. As sure as God's in heaven, you will not sin and get out scot-free. Let's bow our heads. Now, I tell you what I want Sister Kathy to do this morning. We've already had one invitation, so I just want her to play softly some song. We're not going to tarry. We're not going to just drag it out. We're going to let her play softly about a minute. If God has spoke to your heart this morning, you want to get your life right with the Lord, you say, Brother Danny, I'm sorry for my sin. I will be sorry for my sin. Oh, preacher, I don't think it's that bad. Well, there ain't much hope for you this morning. I guess the Lord just has to get your attention some other way. It's up to you now. We're giving the invitation. Just get out of your seat and come right now. Get up out of your seat. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying. Just get up out of your seat this morning. Get up out of your seat and come right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, somebody else, others need to come. Come on, come on, right now, come on, come on, come on. You got to...